Ulrike Gero is a tough act to follow. Just like Marta and Veronica have been a tough act to follow, and it feels small to put forward the sort of demands of philanthropy when it feels you're asking more fundamental questions and you're pointing to much more urgent and personal threats. And I want to respond briefly. Ulrike has sort of asked some meta questions, and as usual, they're incredibly smart, but they leave, in a way, the frame that the organizers have put to us. And I wonder whether you want to, in a way, belittle the legitimate concerns of individual groups by talking about Wohlfühlaktivismus, or whether your generalization that the wealthy are leaving some sort of discourse space, whether those are really justified. I'd love to talk more about that and to draw you out on that and potentially to disagree on a number of things. But I want to, first of all, stick to the expectations that the organizers have set here, which is that we should actually talk about some of the ideas that we have, whether they fit in a meta-discourse or not, however effective they may be. And the idea that I've been asked to present here is a very simple idea. It doesn't come from sort of the situation of being personally threatened. You may say that most of foundations in Europe are sort of actually quite okay. I would argue from the perspective of DAFNE, which is an association of 26 philanthropic associations in all member states, representing 10,000 plus foundations, several hundred thousand people, potentially millions, and that already tells you that this is not a force sort of by a few telling society, sort of dictating to society their visions of democracy, but it's actually an expression of popular of a civic right. The right to engage philanthropically is a civic right, and it's exercised actually by not only a few, but of many, many people across Europe. If you look at the community foundations, for example, but also, you know, philanthropy is an important force, and you can tell this by the fact that independently funded civil society, i.e., often foundations, are the first victims, the first targets of authoritarian and populist regimes, because they can actually do and fund sort of independent action. So I would argue that they may not be the most important, most prominent, the most spearheading part of political civil society, but then an incredibly important ingredient, because they enable and can enable a lot of action. And the issue I would like to address with the philanthropy manifesto, the idea of a single market that we have in fact introduced yesterday in Brussels, is very simple. We have a single market for goods and services in Europe. We've had it for a generation. It's created incredible value for many. But in fact, when it comes to philanthropic action, to helping each other, national borders are still very, very relevant. You can see this when you want to donate across borders, when you want to fund a project across borders. It's very, very hard. So you could say we make it easy in Europe to make money off of each other, to trade with each other. We make it arbitrarily hard to help each other. We have put forward a simple set of suggestions to change that, and also to protect this civic right of associating in philanthropic institutions and of exchanging capital across borders. And we've chosen the single market framing instead of a more civil rights framing, because we want to say that this is something that's overlooked in Europe. We have to strengthen the forces that work across borders to help each other, to provide social cohesion, to foster engagement. And philanthropy is a really important ingredient to a Europe that to European forces that help each other, and that and it's an important ingredient to the European civic space we want to create. So that's me putting forward this simple suggestion as a small but perhaps important part of civil society, and I'm looking forward to challenges that may arise.